I think this is a true story. There was a preacher who preached on Ephesians chapter 5 and what we're going to be talking about today, the idea of wives being submissive to their husbands. And after the message, a woman came up to him and she was just screaming mad. You could tell as she was walking up that she was not happy. And man, she got in his face and she let him have it. And she ended by saying, "Dr. Talbot, if I was married to you, I would put poison in your tea." And he thought about it for a minute, and very calmly and as polite as you can, he said, "You know what, if I was married to you, I think I would drink that tea." Hopefully, this isn't too bad this morning, right, as we dive into this topic. We're going to do a little bit of review on where we've been so far, but I would encourage you to go, if you've missed one of these sermons on marriage, these are so closely tied together, that I would encourage you to go look at the website and see what those have been over the past few weeks. Last week was the role of husband, and before that, we just looked at marriage in general. And so, just so you don't think we're beating up on the wives today, right? Equal opportunity here. Go check those other sermons out, all right? So what does the Bible say? We've been in Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to read it just like we've done the last 2 weeks. Just to get us set for where we're going to be. So starting in verse 21, it says this, "Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband." So what we see here, Paul grounds his argument all the way back in creation when he says that father and mother will leave and that a man will leave his father and mother, and the two will become one flesh. That marriage is God's design. It's not something that we came up with as humanity. God has established rules for it, and he says this is what a marriage should look like. And the purpose, one of the purposes, is to reflect the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. That as we enter into covenant with one another, the way we love each other, the way that we are committed to each other, it reflects God's love for his people. And then last week, we looked at the role of the husband, and the Bible gives us this term called headship, and it says that in instances where there has to be a decision that is made, that God has ordained that the man be the one who takes the lead and makes that decision. And that's not in a domineering way, that's not in an authoritative way, but what we said was that looks like sacrifice, that looks like unconditional love, that looks like service, and all those kinds of things. It's not about, hey, I'm in charge because that's what God said. It's about, hey, I'm making this decision because I think it's best for you. I think it's best for our family. And someone just has to make the call. And this is how God has set things in motion. Here's the definition we've been looking at. Marriage is a husband and a wife under mutual submission to God, lowering themselves under the other person. The husband, by laying down his life for his wife, and the wife, by submitting to her husband. Constantly just trying to lower themselves under the other person. Marriage is just a giant game of limbo, all right? You're just trying to see how low can you go under your partner to serve them and love them and respect them. And that is what God's design is for husbands and wives. Which leads us to today, what we're going to look at. What does that look like for the wife? How do we submit? and do that in the way that God asks us to do? What exactly does that mean? And honestly, that word, submit, I think is just, it's kind of a word that's uncomfortable for people, right? That word, just on the surface, it rubs people the wrong way, makes them feel a little bit uneasy, I think. So hopefully what we can see as we dive into that is really what that word means, and I think we'll be able to see that it's not a bad word at all. It's a good thing, and here's really what the word means. It's a military term, all right? And it just means to arrange in an orderly manner. It's just like in the military, you have different ranks and people in positions. Those people are not necessarily more important than the other. That's what we mentioned last week, right? That this is not based on value. This isn't based on intellect. This isn't based on ability. It's just what God has ordained. And the truth is that any husband who has any sense of wisdom at all knows what a blessing his wife is. This is how the Bible puts it in Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good." Proverbs 12:4 puts it this way. It says, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a wife who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones." And so this order is not putting the wife lower in any sort of way in terms of value. It's just because, hey, there has to be a time when you yield. There's a picture I want to show you of. This is a bridge near where I grew up. I grew up in southern Illinois. And so this is a bridge that crosses the Wabash River from Illinois into Indiana, okay? This is called the Cannonball Bridge. I'm not really sure why it's called the Cannonball Bridge, except that as you're crossing the bridge, there's always this little part of you in the back of your mind that's like, I think this is the time that we do a cannonball into the river. Because as you can see, this bridge is long past needing to be repaired, all right? I think actually by this point it has been. But you can see those boards, they're warped, they're sticking up in places. It might be hard to see, but the railroad ties on the side are completely disintegrating and things like that. It's a pretty rough-looking bridge. And I mean, I grew up in a small town. We didn't really have a lot going on. Sometimes we'd go drive across the bridge just to do it, thinking, hey, maybe this is the day we get to swim in the river. As you can see, this is a one-lane bridge. And it's pretty long. And so as you come up to the bridge, there's a point where you have to look out and see, hey, is there someone else coming? And it can be kind of hard to determine if there's a car on the road or not, especially at nighttime. You have the headlights, but it's the depth perception. It's hard to tell, hey, is that car actually on the bridge or not? And it's one of those things, hey, if there's a car coming, obviously I'm going to yield. Because if you don't, there's trouble, right? That's the idea here. When a decision can't be made, when it comes time that says, hey, we see these things differently, someone has to make a call, there has to be someone who yields. And God says, wives, that's your role. And husbands, you get to make the call not because you're any more important or because you're better at making decisions or anything like that. It's just because, hey, this is what God has designed. And that should be done for the benefit and blessing of your wife. So, that is the idea here. The word itself is also a word, when we go back to Genesis, we see that this idea of what God calls wives to be is the same word that God actually uses for himself. So go back to Genesis chapter 2 with me, where God sets up this idea of marriage, this institute. He puts it this way. The Lord took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him." So he looks at Adam and he says, "Hey, you're not able to do this on your own. I'm going to give you a helper." And that word, helper, in the original language Hebrew that the Old Testament is written in, it's the word azer. And almost two dozen times that word is used, azer, a helper, someone to come along and assist. And most of the time that it's used in the Old Testament, God attributes it to himself. Here's what this looks like in Psalm 70. Verse 5, it says, I am oppressed and needy. Hurry to me, God. You are my help and my deliverer. Lord, do not delay. Again, over in Psalm 115, it says this in verse 9, Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. God uses the same word that he gives to Eve when he says, hey, I'm going to create you to be a helper, and he places that word on himself. And so in no way could that term be lesser if God is attributing it to himself. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5, God says this, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. This idea of lowering yourself under someone, Jesus did the same thing. Jesus stepped out of humanity, he set aside his divinity and took on flesh in order to come and be a savior for us. And so not only does he call himself a helper, but he goes a step farther and gives us the example of taking on the role that he's asking wives to do by lowering himself to serve other people. Wives, God has not asked you to do anything that he was not willing to do himself. He has not asked you to do anything that he was not willing to do himself. And so in no way is your role lesser or as important as the husband's. It's just the way that God has designed it to be. And so don't think of it any less. Know that it's important. Know that the idea of a helper, as a man, can I say, we need a lot of help. That's probably why God designed it this way, right? He created man, and he was like, those guys are going to need some help. I better give them something, right? That is the design. And so sometimes what that submission looks like is, hey, we can't agree, and so someone has to make a call. There's another way that this could play itself out, and here's an example of that. A couple years ago, Mallory was just kind of overwhelmed a little bit. She does a lot of stuff here at the church. A lot of you know that. She's part of the worship team. She serves in the nursery and runs the nursery, and she helps with youth group on Sunday night and Wednesday night and many, many other things. There honestly are very few things that happen at the church that she doesn't have a little bit of a hand in, okay? And a few years ago, she was also heading up Operation Christmas Child. And man, it got to the point where it was just overwhelming for her. And that's not to say that there wasn't a lot of help in that area specifically with OCC. There were a ton of awesome people who were helping with that. But just to take on that lead, and especially the packing party, the way that we were doing it at the time, just takes hours and hours of work. And so I came to her and said, hey, listen, I want you to give something up. And I didn't say, hey, it has to be Operation Christmas Child, it has to be the nursery, it has to be worship. You need to give something up. Because the way that she is wired, she is going to pour herself into whatever she does. And not only is she going to pour herself into it, she's going to do it with excellence to the best of her ability. And she's going to try to make it run as smoothly as possible. And I knew it was killing her that she couldn't do it quite to the level that she wanted to do it. And so I came and I just said, hey, listen, this is what we need to do. You need to pick something. After this packing party is done this year, we need to reevaluate and see. and I would like you to take something off your plate. And so OCC has changed a little bit because of that. Ultimately, it's my fault, okay? But the idea was going to her and saying, hey, listen, I need you to do this, but it's for your good. You are being affected by this. Our household is being affected by this. You won't give this up on your own because you're not a quitter, but I want you to do this. That's another way that this looks, all right? So that's what submission looks like when it is done well, but that's what God asks of wives to do. Here's what this does not mean, all right? Submission does not mean that you submit to a husband who is abusive to you in a physical or a verbal way. And it also does not mean that you submit to something that he asks you to do that is outside of what God has commanded. The definition that we've been going off of, right, is mutual submission to God. Your first authority is God himself. And so if your husband is trying to lead you somewhere that is sinful in a respectful way, you get to say, hey, I love you, I submit to you in other areas, but that's not what God wants for me, and so I can't follow you down that road. Another way that submission does not look, it does not look conditional. We said this last week to men as well, right? If your husband is going through a season where he's not loving you well, he's not laying down his life for you the way that he's called to, you don't get to just sit back and go, well, he's not holding up his end of the bargain. I guess I'm not going to submit to him. If he loves me better, then yeah, I'll agree with him. I'll do what he asks me to do. No, it's not a conditional thing. No matter what happens, your job is to yield. And here's one word of advice that I would say. You need to resolve and decide to do that now. Because in the heat of the moment, whenever you guys are disagreeing and you're at an impasse and you can't come to an agreement, it's really hard when the emotions are high to say, I'm gonna yield to you. But if you've already decided, if you said today, no, this is the attitude that I take, this is what God asked me to do, and so this is what I'm gonna do, later on, when it is more difficult in the moment, you can come back and say, nope, I already resolved, that's what I'm gonna do. And so that's how it's going to be. And that's not to say that your opinion isn't heard or valued. Your husband should do that. He should care very much about what you say. But when the time comes, you decide now, hey, when he makes a call, it's his call. Here's the other thing that it does not look like. Submission does not look like saying yes and then being mad or passive-aggressive about it afterwards. Actual submission is saying, okay, I don't agree with you, but once the call is made, I'm going to act as if I do. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to say, especially if it's the wrong decision later on, I'm not going to bring it up and say, hey, remember last time you made a call, it ended pretty poorly, right? It's not trying to punish him because he doesn't agree with you. It's not anything like that. Submission, the way that God asks us to be, is, hey, when it's time, I'm all in behind you. Because I trust you, because I love you, and because I know that you're trying to make a decision to the best of your ability. And even if I don't see it the same way, I want to honor God with how I live. Here's what Proverbs 21, verse 9 says. Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a nagging wife. So don't be that person who, just because the decision doesn't go your way, is constantly bringing it up or trying to be a bother to your husband. Here's another way that this submission shouldn't look. It should not look like you trying to prod your husband to lead. Because that's actually you trying to lead. If you are bringing up, hey, I wish you would do this better. I wish you would lead me spiritually better. That's what we talked about last week, right? or if you're just constantly dropping these hints of like, hey, you know, you should do this, like that's actually you usurping the authority and going around your husband and trying to lead under the false pretense of, hey, I'll get behind you if you lead, but I'm going to try to lead you where I want to go. That's not what this looks like either. So, there's one other thing that's mentioned in this passage. At the very end, he sums it up after saying all the instructions. He sums it up this way, and he says, basically, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. So I want to finish with looking at what that idea is. And there's definitely a sense of, hey, we respect husbands by submitting to them, but it goes a little bit farther than that. The idea of respect, in a lot of ways, I think, happens with not only how we live, but our words. There is something about, and this is men too, there's something about groups of people, husbands or wives, getting together and just talking about their spouses, right? And whenever we do that, for whatever reason, we tend to go negative. That we tend to just talk about, like, all the things that our husbands or wives do that bother us or that we wish they did better. And I guess there's a place for that, for venting and things like that, maybe with friends. But ultimately, the way that we talk about our husbands or our wives behind their back is incredibly important. The way wives, you talk to husbands, especially in front of your kids, is an incredibly important thing. That you would be lifting them up and helping them to see how much you care about them, what you think about them, that they would see through your eyes how you feel about them. That's an important thing. But not only to other people, but that the words that you say to your husband matter a lot as well. That you would tell them, hey, in those instances where he makes a call and you might not agree, let him know, hey, I trust you in this decision. Or let him know, hey, you're a good provider. You're a good husband. You're a good father. He needs to hear those things from you. He needs to hear that you respect him, that you trust him, that you know that he is taking care of you. So honor him with your words. Can I just say also, honor him by letting him help you and do things for you? You know, it's kind of cliche that the wife comes to the husband and she says, hey, I have this problem, and she doesn't actually want him to fix it, right? She just kind of is like, I need to vent, I need you to listen to this. Sometimes we get in trouble when we try to offer up help because that's not really what is needed in the situation. And that's fine, there's a place for that. But could I also say, men are hardwired to be fixers. Like, in the same way that you might not want the help, we're wired to want to help. And so throw us a bone sometimes, all right? Come to us with a problem that we actually can solve and say, hey, I need your help with this. Because that communicates that you trust us and that you need us to take care of you. Men are hardwired to want to be the hero. My boys, Elisha and Emmett, they are obsessed with superheroes right now, all right? Emmett, to the point where he has, you know, like superhero underwear and socks and stuff like that. If all those things are dirty, sometimes he'll refuse to like put on just regular socks or something because they're not Spider-Man socks. And it's the craziest thing because they don't really know anything about superheroes. We've told them some stories. We've never really showed them cartoons or anything like that. And so they know a little bit, but man, they are just drawn to these heroes. They love them. It is by far their favorite thing right now. And the truth is that men, we never really grow out of that. It might not be superheroes. It might be something else. But God has designed us. We want to be the hero. We want to ride in and save the day. All right? We want to come and rescue the damsel in distress. And so, ladies, let us do that sometimes. Even if you have to make something up. All right? Listen, I don't actually need your help all that often. I'm a completely competent person, but I'll come up with something for you, all right? So that we can come in and feel like, hey, God has designed me to be a protector and someone who looks after my family. Let us do that from time to time. So, there's the idea. That's what God has ordained with marriage. The roles and how he designed it so that it reflects his love for the church. Now, here's the thing. I don't know why God designed it that way. All right? It says because God made Adam first and then comes Eve, and I don't know why God didn't make woman first and then man. I don't know the answers to those questions. All right? I don't know the design. I know the designer, though. And he is good. And if this is something that you are still struggling with, like, man, I know what you're saying. I get the idea, but I still struggle with it. Listen, you don't have to understand the design as long as you know the designer. And the designer was willing to step out of heaven, put on flesh, and go to a cross to cover the sin that separated you from him. And if he was willing to do that, whatever else he asks you to do, I think you can probably trust. Would you pray with me? God's marriage is such a sacred thing. God, we are so thankful for the gift that it is and how you've given it to us. Father, right now, I want to pray over different groups of people within this church. God, there are some here who have lost their loved ones recently. God, I ask for comfort for them, that you would bring them peace. God, I want to lift up those who aren't married, who have that desire, who may be down the road, that is part of their life. God, I ask that you would give them wisdom as they search for that, that you would bring those people into their lives. And Father, that you would bless them in their waiting. Father, I lift up the husbands and the wives here this morning and ask for protection around their marriages, God, that you would help them to cling to you when things are hard. God, help us to trust that what you say about marriage is right and good and true. And Father, ultimately, that as we live these things out, that people would see your love through it. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.